Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to another reality show. And as my intro just explained, I'm Golden Hawk. Tonight's show was going to be live with Marian Monroe, but she came down with a sinus infection that is really... she's just not able to talk tonight, you know, and comfortably, which I totally understand. Life is happening at a warp speed. But I thought the best thing to do was to play the show that me and Marianne did a few months ago. So it's a two-hour show, so I'm not going to talk much. I'm going to play the show, and then I'll do the outro at the end of the show. And I love you all. Next week, actually, is a new guest, Dana Merkich from Australia. Talking some wonderful galactic connectional stuff. Anyways, I love you guys. Have a great night and enjoy me and Marianne. Bye now. Well, don't hang up.
Blog Talk Radio.
To another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and we have a great show in store tonight. I'm very, very excited about my guest and the topic and all the goodness that is absolutely flying throughout the galaxies, through our beings. I know some of you are thinking it looks like chaos, Goldie. Yes, I know that. But it's actually not chaos. That is just our perceptual awareness of it. Because everything is in divine order. Everything. Now, that's not to say that we cannot, you know, choose our experiences. But I think what's really happening, at least as usual, I'll just speak for myself. What I'm really noticing is it's me going through these experiences. If I'm resisting and I'm, you know, holding on and the world is just ripping me off the sides of the riverbank, then I experience it as a negative experience. But if, you know, when the current just starts pulling me, if immediately I just let go of the side, well, by golly, I'm kind of like the leaf that floats down the river and I'm seeing things and I'm going by things and I'm waving hi and then it's gone and it's bye. It is definitely energetically for me a time of just flow, holding on to nothing, letting go of everything. And if you've been following me on Facebook, you'll know that I'm letting go of my mind. Yes, there's really nothing bigger than that. And it's a very interesting process. I feel eternally grateful to the Crimson Circle, Jeffrey Hoppe, who pretty much for the last 3 to 4 years has been prepping me in his monthly messages, which I highly recommend to anybody or everybody, that there comes a time that we let go of our mind. And so there's just a lot of wonderful information if that is the space that you're in. And, you know, it's funny. How do you know you're letting go of your mind? The way it kind of shows up is you'll start feeling like you're losing your mind. That is the process of the mind. That's the process of consciousness not coming through like the synapses of my brain because of all the intentional work that I've done. I've intended it to come through my heart. And so, well, lo and behold, intend something, it starts happening. So it's a really interesting experience, losing your mind and celebrating all at the same time. And yet also knowing that losing your mind is not about, you know, it's not like you become, you know, deaf, dumb, and blind. No, actually, contraire, you become super sensitive, super aware. I have definitely more awareness than I've ever had. I just often can't put it into a word, or I can't put it in, I can't manifest it into anything yet. At this point, it's just a beingness. I just have a sensation that my being is safe and secure, all is well, and just witness all that is crumbling around me. So I did want to share that. And, well, we're going to get to my guest. I promise we'll get to you in a few seconds. I just want to do the usual. Let's invite our essence in to join our bodies. Take some nice deep breaths. Really feel your essence, feel your presence. Be here right now. Let everything else kind of just go. There's nothing important right now except being here now. And if you're listening to the show, then I'm honored. And, you know, being present with that is all that you need to be. There will be messages and synchronicities and healings because I intend that for every show. So feel the presence of your own being. Ground it. Know that it's here. You know, inevitably, I think I might make up a, like, short little meditation that I'll play on the show every week, because I get that I just invite the essence in and call it a day. But I haven't done that yet, so for now, we'll just invite it in. And, you know, let's get on to my guest, who I haven't talked to on the show in, gosh, I think it's been about a year. Oh, no, July 4th, because that was the post that she had made all about becoming independent and how she had done it. I found her on Facebook. She's fabulous. Her name is Marianne Monroe, and she's a Theta Healer facilitator or master or your teacher. Why don't I just bring her on and ask her? Welcome to the show, Marianne. Hello? Marianne? Oh, wait a minute. There you go. Marianne? Wait. That's not Marianne. Okay, wait a minute. Marianne?
Hi.
Hey, okay. That beep, was that you hanging up? Did something get disconnected?
My phone disconnected 4 times. So while you were talking, I kept, like, just kind of trying to get back in. So hopefully we're good now. So can you hear me okay?
Okay, I can totally hear you okay. And listen, if it happens again, I have a totally compassionate audience. We're good. Just call back and, you know, I'll babble or we'll go into a silent retreat. It's all good.
Wonderful. Well, I did hear the last bit. And so, yes, I'm a Theta Healing teacher and practitioner, and I've been doing this work for almost 9 years now. And it's been a big journey for me. It's been just, well, you know, like some of the things you talk about where many times you go through phases where the energy is so just releasing and intense that there are periods of time where making it tangible in a physical way and a manifesting sort of way is you're just very aware, like, I do not have my grip on this yet. And so it has led me through several different deep transitions or dark nights. And I seem to be processing through another one, so that should be interesting now that we have a show going on in the middle of my own sort of resurfacing.
Well, first of all, I absolutely honor that you're here and willing to share that you're going through that because I feel, because I'm telling you, everything's starting to come through my heart. I'm feeling so much more. It's even showing up in my language. I feel the importance of sharing the ebb and flow of this whole awakening process and connecting to our souls and connecting multidimensionally and how, you know, it's not, you just don't open the door and you're in heaven and you don't look, you know, and you never see the third dimension of polarity again. It really is an ebb and flow, and I love that my guests are open when they come on the show, because the listeners have to know when they're in their temporary ebbs, so to speak, mm-hmm. that it's exactly that, it's temporary. And, I mean, for me, the more I go through them, the less I get riled up about them, because it's like, oh, okay, it's just kind of time, like, I won't say to hibernate, but I, you know, you bring your energy in and you go within, and or at least I do.
Yeah. Yeah, we're literally, I mean, it's been, for me, this has been almost 5 months, so it's probably not too long after the last show that we did, where I did some really big work on myself, and you never know when you're going to hit gold, you know, like deep gold. And I kind of walked in, and it was, I mean, I fortunately had someone with me who was working with me at the moment, so I got to have a witness when my eyes, you know, expanded, and I went, oh, my God, like, I can't keep going along with this illusion that has been so much of my reality for the past 9 years and not see the truth that is sitting right in front of me right now. And I walked in, and, I mean, I crumbled. I just realized this is a big thing for me. So, and we can talk about that process and what happened, but basically, so I've had this business that I've been working at for the last 9 years, and it's had really beautiful times. It was highly successful, and then it's been, you know, also a period of time where it's gone down with my own cycling. And suddenly I just am finding that I'm letting it all go, which was not my intention, honestly. It was my expectation that this was going to be my life work, so to speak. And to have that now kind of working its way around, I'm kind of on the tail end the way I feel in terms of the transition, but I'm not out of the woods yet.
Out of the woods, meaning?
Meaning that I can feel the light at the end of the time. I can see how it's reforming itself around me, but I'm still feel my inner self still wanting something. Like there's a somethingness that's not all the way lined up yet, and I'm just kind of being extraordinarily patient. And you know, from day to day, I will feel like I'm coming out of the space, and then a day later, I'm back into another aspect of self. And it's fascinating. I mean, isn't it? I mean, just your own world is just such. I mean, there's so much going on, but. It just depends on how much you want me to go into that, Goldie, or go into healing as itself.
Well, I have some questions that are popping up, and I think for me it's always about, okay, to find the affirming even in a dark space. Here's what, you know, popped into my head. It's like, okay, so this is a school, I mean, because we're having a school of Theta healers, correct? Or Reiki healers, or is it strictly the Theta healing?
It's Theta healing. I used to teach hypnotherapy, neurolinguistic programming, and Reiki. So those are all part of my kind of moving into Theta. So those were kind of my beginnings, and then I found Theta, and that's where my heart really resonated.
Okay, so I love, all right, so even though the school is leaving, my sense of things are, there are applications within the Theta healing that can help you get through a period of time with this, and not for a result of the school, but for the nurturing of the essence of Marianne.
Well, the interesting part of the whole thing is that the reason why the school and stuff started to release is that an awareness came into me that each time I would do work on myself, there was this, as minor as it was, I mean, and it was small, there was a part of me that was resisting the moment, that wanted something to be different, and I would use the technique to bring me around, and of course at the end I would look back and see how perfect it was, and I would say thank you for it. But that instinctual drive to jump in and fix and change, suddenly I was looking at the mirror and I realized that a part of my soul just couldn't buy it anymore. It was looking at me saying,
oh, wow.
Do you realize that each time you do that, you deny the perfection of the moment? And if you just held still in that, and didn't budge, and you just held and were in the space of love around it, how quickly it would transform and move through you without any effort on your part. And
wow.
So I was like, holy crap. And I realized this idea of working on myself suddenly felt offensive to this core of me. And I realized also another big thing that came in was this idea of learning, and that I need to learn in order to know, or that I'm in process. And it was literally like cities just falling away around me saying, this is an illusion that you've created, and you can keep doing it, and we totally honor your doing the process thing. But it just said, stop. And
wow.
So I did.
Indeed. So let's talk about the voice within then, because clearly you're connected to your soul's voice, or whether you call it your soul or your guidance.
Yeah.
Your
use
higher
all the
self.
Terms. It depends on
yeah,
the
I
moment.
Do
I'll go higher self, spirit, soul. It's like, you know, whoever. It's the inner me, right?
Right, right. So how is, I mean, because these are all, Marianne, I give you kudos, because, see, my personal belief is a teacher is a teacher, whether they're teaching from the top of the hill or if they're at the bottom, you know, in humility. And I say that because I've been in both spaces.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher is always the teacher because they're authentic and they share and they're open. You know, it's like I really do honor my show. I'm so proud of my show because there's an energy all her own that seems to attract when the guest comes on. Like 2 weeks ago, I had a gentleman on whose father-in-law died like 3 days before the show. And he
wow.
came on and talked about, you know, how death affects him and his family. And it just seems there's, you know, that's why I usually say, let's not plan a show. It's going to be whatever it's going to be. And
oh.
It's going to be fabulous.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing is that when I show up, I bring whatever is in me in the moment, I bring that. So there's no artificial, there's no me trying to be a certain thing. I know whatever I'm being is the thing for the space. So, it's been... What another thing, and you mentioned about being a teacher, is that in all the work that I've done, because, you know, my private sessions with people have been a big part of my life, and I'm just at the point where I can't look at anybody honestly anymore and say, you need me. Like, there's nothing that I can give you. All I'm going to do is point you back to you. And so I feel like I'm standing when I'm in front of a group, I feel the hilarity of the fact that I'm even there speaking words. And if I could have it my way, we would just sit and look at each other and hold hands and hug. I mean, that would be the whole thing. And
yeah.
All I want to do now is tell people, you've got it. Let me sit near you. And I found that I'm equally as effective sitting with someone with this open heart of love, and they can be telling me about some evil that they did. And I watch them just walk themselves out now. It's so much different than me processing with them, in which case I get to take on this space of having done something for them versus just being the space around which they understand and come to their own awareness. So to be a teacher and to have a student and to play these roles started to feel not like who I was.
Okay. Well, I'm just putting my foot in my mouth like all over the place. God bless Goldie. But I love your responses because, you know, you really are a, you know, you're the alchemy of the light worker. You know, that's what it is. You know, I've never really had a teaching practice. So, you know, I'm going through the same processes, but I'm just doing them as quietly kind of, you know, the radio show was pretty much always the format that I would speak on. But there's usually a guest, and it's just different than, you know, the teaching. And it's funny because I always wanted to teach, and yet I'm in total agreement with you that teaching is really about, if I live by the example, then that gives you the potential to live by the example too. That's that is the teaching. You know, in other words, I teach me, and I'm the student, and, you know, I've definitely read there's, like, no more gurus anymore, and, you know, the energy, because that is a polarized state of, you know, one is and one is not, when the truth is we're all progressing. Even in our resistance, that would be a progression towards, you know, the polarities are either sending us upward or they're sending us descending. You know, we're either ascending or descending, but there's movement however you look at it. So,
absolutely. I mean, and so one of the great things that being that, so the work of Theta Healing, if I could just mention this.
Absolutely, because it'll help us understand where you've come from. So,
So the work of Theta Healing is, I think, a brilliant model, especially for more left brain types, because it can be, it's illogical. And that's what I loved about it when I found it, because I went to school to be an engineer. So there's this part of me that wants to work with the little tiny bits of the universe and understand it all and analyze it out. And so it allows you to, with a you're using your whole brain, but you get to play with the thinking model of whys and the questioning and discovering the answer. And it's so fun. It was fun for me. It still is when I work with other people. It can be delightful the way you arrive at the answer and come into knowing through the whole process. Basically, what you're doing is you're able to scan people's bodies, pick up their beliefs and their programming that's helping them create their reality. You can also, with questioning, help your client come to their own, you help them dig, basically, through ideas or beliefs until they get to the bottom one that's fueling the story, that's creating the reality that gives them this feeling. And so what I do is I take them down through that whole thing, rewind back to the beginning, and then using Theta Healing, which is just a brainwave and an awareness that I can be in a sleep state, which is a theta brainwave, and speaking from there with Creator, we can just very simply remove that program from the brain, actually from the way that the mind is creating connections, which then creates thoughts and ideas. So we just break that pattern and then put a new one in, and the person shifts. And it's very elegant, the way that I've experienced it with people. But there's this very thinking part to it that eventually my brain just kind of just said, I don't necessarily know that I have faith in the way that my brain is even coming to terms with it. And what I'm finding is that when I have a situation now that normally I would have gone into a session with myself, or I would have, you know, phoned a friend basically to do some work, because I love working with other people and having them work with me. Now I literally say there's something that maybe is uncomfortable for you in what you're doing, or someone else is uncomfortable with you. And I just sit there and this too is my perfection. And I go through kind of an emotional heart opening to myself. And I'm possibly going to be doing some work where I could teach people or help be a guide for how to do really deep emotional clearing very quickly, the kind that you could really do huge emotional releases within a breath, and how to engage the emotional body that way. But I found that the answers that I found when I got to the end of my work were so sweet and gentle, and there was no part of me that said, I need to change or I need to fix or there's something wrong with me in order to get there. It was literally this is the right thing. I am doing correctly. Even in this thing that feels like I've screwed up, this was the right thing. And through that allowing, I move into this space of absolute love and acceptance. And then suddenly I can see how it was and its purpose for me. So it's getting to the same results, but getting there with my belly. And what I found is when I'm doing it from my belly, my world tends to respond more directly and give me more physical results or feedback, because it's grounded in my body. It's deep in my core. So, that's kind of the technical piece-by-piece differences of the whole scene. And do you have any questions about that? I kind of, you let me know where I need to add a bit.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because what you're going through is what I'm going through. I mean, in my way, it's just a matter of, you know, dropping from my head to my heart. I'm going through it too, which really kind of, for me, solidifies this is a global thing that's happening. And of course, if you're resisting it, you know, you're going crazy. If you're allowing it, you're the shaman. You know, it's like, in other words, it's the same process. It's really just how we're responding to it.
Right. Right.
I realize it's very personal in our experiences because you're a teacher, you know, and, you know, I'm a nanny. Truth be told, I don't think the kids really care if I'm in my heart or my head.
<You know? laughs>
As long as they get
there.
Their snacks. Pardon?
Yeah. They're just glad you're there.
They're just glad I'm there and giving the, doling out the snacks and the fruity snacks for them and all that good stuff. But my experience is just like yours, where it's just totally different. Now that I'm in my heart, I mean, relationships are shifting all over the place for me because the relationships that I established in my mind no longer satisfy me.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'll go to them and share with them, you know, some heartfelt experiences. And their answer is like they either want to fix me or they just, you know, brush over it like, oh, you know, buck up, you know, get tough. And it's like, whoa, get tough. And I'm not saying, you know, I can be a son of a bitch, but this isn't about being tough. This is about, you know, like I am deeply feeling because, like, it's so funny. Today when I was in the car, a quote hit me, and I think it's for the show tonight, where it said – just popped into my head, better to feel pain than to feel numb.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that numbness oftentimes comes in just before you kind of are in that transition because your body's going, I don't think so. Really? We're going to feel that? And it will do this kind of withholding from the self for a while before you kind of break those walls down. And you're like, I don't like this numb feeling. And then you release it and you're like, oh, well, that's why. On the other side.
Well, but you know what's so kooky about that is I'm truly learning from my own experiences that, I mean, first of all, I grew up basically thinking addictions were, you know, the alcohol addictions, you know, the basic five, you know, alcohol, sex, food, drugs, prescription or otherwise, you know what I mean? Your basic addictions.
Right.
But I am so learning. Now, first of all, addiction is across the board. I don't know why Carolyn Mace didn't include it as an archetype for everybody, because the mind is an addiction.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as the mind's an addiction, that means everybody's addicted. I don't, you know, maybe,
yeah,
you know,
well,
maybe not the Dalai Lama, but, you know, your average Joe is. And what's interesting is, so addiction plays in the ascension process, because addiction is the second level that we have to go face our fears, then we have to face addiction, then we have to face power. So, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, addiction, for me, you know, it's a very challenging thing to, first of all, I got to let go of the mind, but I got to let go of, exactly like you were saying, trusting how I process life. You know, like, How the hell am I supposed to do? You know, like, whoa! It's like all of a sudden being dropped in China. You know, I don't understand the language of the heart, but you know, the truth is, I do understand the language of the heart, and once I trust it, you know, it's just it plays by different rules. I can't plan with the heart. I can't, you know, like, you know, me and Marianne basically decided she was coming on the show like a week and a half ago. You know, I used to have like 2 months in advance all my guests planned. I don't do that because I know I've had too many people that just cancel on me. So I'm like, all right, so don't do that, Greg Goldie. It's not fun being standing at the altar, so to speak, by yourself. You know, but it's like
Well, on the subject of addiction, the way, when I teach theta healing, the way that I help people understand, we talk about the level of the cell, and because we're working from the level of the cell and doing our shifting from that place. And the cell basically works on the idea of addiction. It is an addict. And so it is having these cellular receptors, and when it needs something based on its programming, it sends out the call and expects it to come. And if it gets it, it's happy. If it doesn't, it gets upset. And it will create actually more receptors for that thing and feed itself. Just like an addiction, it's like, I need more. So then we start feeding the addiction, and we can start to actually build positive receptors if it's a positive addiction. So like I would say, you know, we can be addicted to love. And what happens is that the body requires it. And because it's sending the call, and once the call happens, it has to be received, and it can work for you. So understanding that we are addicts. It's how the brain works. We're all tied into the core of our being. And one of the things that that I had to start doing was trusting that these calls from within me were good. I would find that my fighting myself was where I would create more resistance and create more pattern for quote-unquote negative addiction. But I love the idea of the addiction because it's really, I mean, you actually can't escape it. All you can do is love the way that your body is creating and processing. And as you do that, it becomes an experience of love. It doesn't become something. We're so afraid sometimes of really just letting ourselves go. Like what happens if I just live from the place of I am, and it's either comfortable for you or it's not, and I trust myself and it's the right thing. And that's a trip because we're just not trained to be that way. And I know I'm in a partnership, and you know, when you're in a partnership, you know, there's this expectation that every once in a while you sacrifice, and if the person says, well, I need you to do this, it doesn't, you know, you say okay. And, you know, and this is how you do relationshiping. And we have just, with both of our spiritual beliefs, realized this doesn't work. Like, we can't play the game that way anymore. So we're just both looking at each other. Okay, so this am, I'm going to be this person. And is that okay with you? And it's crazy.
Oh, okay. I lost you a little bit. Sorry. So you're saying, okay, can you just describe what you just said again? So I don't know how to comment because I'm not understanding what just was said. I didn't know you were going to end there, so I didn't know you were going to pause there.
You know what? I didn't either. You know why I ended? Because my phone was dropping its signal and I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, there were points in time where I couldn't hear you as well, which I think made it why I couldn't, you know, I figured I'd catch up as you...
No, you know what, and I appreciate you just being kind of patient with me because when you're in that transition, like the thoughts in me honestly are not gelling in ways that I normally would prefer them to be doing.
Oh, I so understand that. A few weeks ago, I did a show all about nothing, much to do about nothing, because I could barely form sentences.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
Don't ask me the truth about the universe right now because my brain probably just sit there and look at you and smile.
Okay. Listen, that is the truth about the universe. Yeah, no, listen, I totally I really on a deep level really honored that you're on the show tonight and have true compassion to where you're at. We are flowing down the same river without paddles here. And
yeah.
So I honor it. No worries. It's all good. 'Cause like for me, I am finding that like I said, relationships are shifting for me. In that. Well, like one of the insights I got, before I talk about the relationship, one of the insights I got about the difference between the head and the heart is that the head, for me, always, I could find the problem and I could analyze the problem. The heart never saw a problem, just always was in the solution. I mean, it doesn't even see the problem. Now, that is not to say that the heart is not guided. It's like, it's almost like the heart sees love and experiences love, and through love effortlessly continues, you know, moving its direction, perhaps in a different direction than the mind going, the problem's over there. And the heart's
right.
Like, no, that's a beautiful, loving being, and yet effortlessly will still guide me to go to the left when the mind and the problem as perceived is to the right. But it never says go away. It just keeps loving. And
yeah.
I have seen myself, because my experiences with relationships personally is there's a lot of secrets in the world, in my world, with my friends and their spouses and partners. And, you know, I'm literally here to go through the seventh dimension, unify my chakras, and not have to return to Earth. I mean, that has been my goal since 1996. That is still my goal to this day. And because of that, I have not had significant relationships in you know, romantic departments. But I've had significant friends who sometimes happen to be lovers. But so, you know, I keep telling everybody, you know, and when I'm in my mind, I'm like, are you kidding me? You got to leave that fool. He's lying to you. You know, he's got, you know, three different affairs going on at once, which is just crazy to me. And when I'm in my heart, I'm like, listen, you love him? Then be with him and look at the reflection for self. You know, it's,
right.
the advice is like vastly, vastly different. And when I'm tired, and my friends call me with their stuff, I usually drop into my mind, like, effortlessly. And, you know, and then I'm going, you know what, I really, you know, I love you, but tonight's not a good night. I'm tired.
Right.
Because I can hear
right.
myself kind of just bitching at them, going, just leave. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to tell people to break up. You know, listen, if you're in love with that person, perhaps it's that love that can heal, you know, that whatever, you know, is out of balance in that other person, or, you know, or as I always say, there's only one being in a relationship. Anything you're seeing, whether, you know, it's a lover or a boss or a parent or a child, the reflection is always self. You know, there's
right.
only one of us here. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and that how important it is that we all are dealing and being the way we are with each other. Like, I don't think we give ourselves a pat on the back enough for that. The rightness of whatever you're being in this moment is exactly what the other person is calling for. Exactly. Like, you can't do it wrong. And, like, I was processing a lot this morning, and I went to my partner, and I said, I need you to tell me your experience of me right now, because I can feel that there is something for me to get into, and my flow has stopped. And so I'm asking you to flow in what you're feeling, even if it's negative, because I need you. We move together. And I'm asking, and I asked him to actually tell me where he was upset with me, because I knew his feelings would reflect something in me and would bring up
Indeed.
The next phase
wow.
for me.
Beautiful.
And so I actually
Beautiful.
Said, please tell me your resentments. Please tell me where I'm not working for you. I need your honesty. And that is as much a part of me journeying with clarity as you being kind and nice. And I don't ever want you to, and this is the thing, I just don't believe in being kind and nice. I believe in you being what you are. And if you're being that, you are flowing. Now I am flowing, and we're all feeling the safety and preciousness of it's okay for me to be who I am. And
Absolutely.
This is the right thing. So it's crazy and cool to be able to be in part and know that you can't let me down here. You really
exactly.
can't. And even if you withhold from me, I'm going to go through my own energy of what it feels like for someone to withhold something.
Right,
so
exactly.
that's okay, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's neat because he's looking at me going, oh, really, you, okay. And for him to get to feel that fluidity in himself and that space that I can let myself go and trust that it's not going to it's not going to disturb the natural link up where our souls are saying we are participating together in this world. And I said to him this morning, I said,
If anything, you're going to strengthen it.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because we're working. It's like, I'm only in this because I love your soul. So just let's get over ourselves already. And just accept that I love you, okay? But I said, you know, I'm aware that when I am feeling distant from you, that is equal to my distance from myself. And if I look at you and say, I'm not feeling it, Daniel, I'm not feeling you, that's me not feeling me. And I'm clear about that. And it's fun to be, as you're processing, so like I've been going all through this darkness, and it's not like me to ever be unkind. It just doesn't occur to project. And yet I've had some moments, I got to tell you, Goldie, where I was flailing in the air. I was like falling hard and looking like with these pleading eyes saying, I know that I am not looking pretty right now, but I still need you to be there. I still need your help. And I think that is the thing when you start really getting into the heart, you realize there's no amount of ugliness that you can't still show up with your heart and it can't be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, we're not just processing these emotions for ourselves, we're processing for the planet, and we're processing for literally hundreds of thousands of years of polarity. So, you know, this ascension process is literally about unifying not just our chakras, but all the lifetimes we have scattered throughout dimensions and time frames, which when people say the past and the future, you know, it gives the experience that one has happened and one has not. That's simply not truth. In the now time, it's all happening now. Mm-hmm. And the body that has chosen to ascend and unify is the one me and you are talking to each other with.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
and
it's a huge
really
responsibility.
I know. We really need to realize that I've told people, I said, when you were up there with your angels, you remember them saying, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure? Because that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly right. We are not here because we've been punished. We chose, as Keisha Crowther says, we are the best of the best and the strongest that there is. Because one of the things I'm telling, you know, sharing with my people, you know, friends on Facebook, personal friends, whatever, is that, like we were speaking of earlier, when you're going through the ebb and life is just being ripped out of your hands, jobs and relationships and homes and everything that made you feel secure in this dimension, it's about connecting to the virtues that are going to get you through the experience, and then it will actually take you, you know, into the new manifestation experience, which is, you know, the strength and courage and the virtues and the trust. These are incredibly valuable assets to have in one's toolbox. Integration does not come because we remove something from our being. Integration comes because we accept it into our being.
Right.
And this whole ascension is an integration. You know, it's about owning parts of ourselves, exactly like you said, that are ugly. And sometimes when those parts are, I mean, it's so funny about, I consider myself a very kind person. I mean, I love being around kids because it's so easy to be kind to them because they just, you know, they're beautiful. They're such pure little beings, especially little ones. But a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, whatever it was, time is so, I got no aspects of time anymore. I was raging with my father. I live with my father and just flailing, exactly like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, And you know, I mean, he kind of looked at me like, what the hell are you so angry about? And it was like, it was a principle. I was arguing about a principle. And, you know, he was like, you know, it was interesting because after that, he didn't ask me to go against my principle. So first of all, I was at least like, okay, he listened. Because I don't normally, you know, he's normally yelling. I grew up in a family that yells, but I know my friends will say, oh, Goldie, you yell all the time. I'll be honest with you, I have a loud voice, but in my personal experience, I'm not yelling. I have energy and it comes out vocally. But when I'm yelling, it's even, you know, I'm roaring like a lioness, and it's like so, you know, thank God it was winter and the windows were down, and I probably would have woke up people in three towns over. But it is something that, you know, energetically, I mean, because within 15 minutes of our fight, my father was in my room smiling at me. I mean, I had never experienced that he was so neutral about me losing my marbles.
That's beautiful.
It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal, and it helped me understand, you know, part of the processing is, like you're saying, I got to have compassion when something was integrating with me. An aspect of me was integrating, and as soon as I saw his reflection back to me, I was just like, wow, okay, that, you know, I'm not saying, you know, to go off, but if you do, certainly don't beat yourself up because you have, because there's a whole spectrum. There's nothing we can do anymore. We have to look good. My thing is, I want to be transparent and I want to be authentic.
Right.
And in both of those experiences, I am going to experience all the full spectrum of emotions, of thought processes, and of experiences that, you know, that will definitely have the tinge of ugly.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can't, if you're going to start to go deep down into yourself, there's going to be stuff that if you don't feel like you have the resources or you're not being present with yourself, it's just going to look not so pretty. But
exactly.
For me, I think it was so beautiful that I did it, because what it did is it opened up a space for my partner to raise himself up, to be present,
to be authentic.
With that part of me. Because I just don't go there hardly ever. So, you know, he doesn't get to exercise that part of himself very
right.
much. To be that kind of, you know, I can be here while you're doing this. I mean, if I'm just crying, it's fine. I mean, he's like head in the lap, stroking the hair, beautiful. But for me to just kind of not have my wits about me and to be so out of control was new for both of us. And it's been so cool to watch us both
awesome.
Grow through that. And it was neat for me to wake up the next morning and have no sense of beating myself up. Like, I really was like, no, like, I needed to go and let go of myself and see where you and I could, how we would blend through this. So it was really cool. And I did also realize that I was asking him to do something for me that was really my job. So I was aware of that, too. I was like, I need you to support me, and I need you to do this, when it was really me. And so I was clear about that, too, but it's kind of nice when you're out of that good or bad, what should I have done, was that the right thing? You can see thousands of ways where it was the right thing, and you can get the learning without making anything wrong. So
Absolutely.
That's really fun. I like that. It was maybe around the same time when I was beginning my transition, I had my partner look at me, because he does the work that I do, because, of course, I taught him. And he was scanning me, and it was just some menial issue that I wanted to look at. And he said, oh, it's your body's telling me you're learning how to believe in yourself. And I was like, believe in myself? I don't know anybody who believes in themselves more than me. Like, I am the poster child for I believe in myself. And I had no idea, Goldie, how much more there was to me really honoring everything that I am. There's levels beyond levels of getting this willingness to not be pretty, this willingness to explore every type of avenue of self, and not needing to participate in roles of teacher and roles of healer anymore. And I can, but realizing that the one doesn't detract anything from the other. I still feel there's no after effects of where I'm trying to overcome my grief over how I've been. And so I don't know, this willingness even to disappoint and to be just so authentic that you can't even remember who you're trying to represent anymore. You're just being.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no Marianne that I'm protecting in terms of an identity or, you know, I had the lowest month of income. I made $300 this month.
$300. Okay.
That's not a lot. And to realize that at the end of the month, I looked at myself and said, this doesn't have, it's not giving me any sense of how I should feel about it. I have no comment, really. And that
well,
was
well, you
really
recognize
cool.
that it's not you. That's not, it's not your identity. It's not Marianne equals how much money she brings in. That's
right.
Not your identity.
Well, in a way, I had created the equation, Marianne makes money, which means she's a good healer teacher. And this time,
okay.
There was none of that. There was no, I made money, and that means I'm doing a good job. It was nothing. I had literally no comment. It just was what it was. And there was no sense of fear about whether my needs were going to be taken care of or anything. I have almost a gross and unrelenting sense of the perfection of things.
Okay.
And Daniel was saying to me today, he goes, you do realize that you are extraordinarily extreme. Like, even for, like, extreme people, you're extreme. And I'm like, yep. I do. I know. And it's getting worse, better. So, yeah, I'm rambling again, but.
You're not rambling? No, trust. You're beautiful. It does not have to be linear on the show. Believe me, anyone who's still listening, I speak, you know, here's my sequence. 271596. That's how I tell a story. They're used
good.
To it. No worries.
I
truly.
Love it. I love it. I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
But so there's this one book that I started reading called Nothing to Do, Nowhere to Go. And it was really cool because I hadn't read anything that really, I mean, a lot of the self-help that's out there is about visualizing and having your purpose and feeling the feelings of what you want. And there's just no part of me that wants to participate there. And it was
right.
odd because it had been so much of what I believed. And now I'm sitting in this, it doesn't matter. I'm going to experience something and it's going to be beautiful. And the words will show up or they won't and it'll be beautiful. And the relationship happens or it doesn't and it will be beautiful. And I don't have a sense to achieve anything. And I posted something on Facebook yesterday, a quote by Osho, that it was basically, I have my computer in front of me. But basically, he was saying that it wasn't possible to be present, truly present, and to be wanting to accomplish something. That the desire to accomplish made us then focus on something that we're wanting to acquire or achieve in the future, which we perceived we didn't have right now.
Right.
And so I'm actually like living in that space of having no sense of creating something. And yet I'm creating all over the place. I mean, I'm learning guitar and painting and all kinds of new things. But there's no planning anymore. Like you said, like you're not planning about your guests coming on. Yeah. And I'm literally moment to moment. And so I got to give my boyfriend props because he, you know, said, you know, you realize I can't count on anything. I said, except that I'm going to love you. And that's a big something.
Right. But, you know, there's a freedom in that. And that's essentially what we're starting to learn to trust is the synchronicity of being in the moment. And you know, because, I have been reading a lot with a woman named Lisa Renee. And I'm all about the ascension. I mean, like I said, since 1996, my whole goal was to never have to be human again. I mean, that was truly, I found out about, quote, unquote, this thing called ascension, and I went, where do I sign? And it's so funny because initially I thought it was going to take me into bliss, and it was going to take me into, you know, the angels and the harps, and I have gone you know, you're the poster child. What did you say? You were the poster child for what?
For believing in myself.
I'm the poster child of the dark side. Because, holy moly, have I spent a lot of energy there. But in all of what it is, I am learning about these voids. There are huge voids, and the best way to give a picture, which I find on Facebook really helps people understand words if you can couple it with a picture, is essentially what's happening is you're being unplugged from the old Marianne, which was a third-dimensional being, and I'm not saying that you didn't have intuitions, but I mean there's a template of you in the third dimension. And what happens is we get unplugged from that template, and before we get plugged into being multidimensional beings, there's a void. And that void is a timeless, spaceless, creative. You lose your passions, you lose your drives, the creativity. It is not a permanent space. It is a temporary space. It happens literally to everyone that's going through this process, because it's a process that it's like we can't grow from the certain template that we're at, so we have to unplug from it. That's why one of the things they meaning whether it's the Galactics or channelers, whoever, they're always imparting on trust your feelings, because the body knows of this wisdom, even if it doesn't have words. Trust the feelings in the body,
right?
You know, and yet, you know, the mind, which is programmed to say, you know, but if I'm not producing, I'm going to die. You know,
right.
I'm going to lose everything. And truth be told, you might lose stuff, but the things that are coming in when we're losing our stuff we're just learning to travel lighter, because stuff plays a part. But, I mean, there was somebody on Facebook today that wrote, the wind, the temperature got really cold, and it had reminded her that a year ago, she was basically homeless, and she lived in a trailer during this period that was very cold, and she was being fed by the graciousness of a restaurant person that was giving her, you know, a meal or two a day. And the strength that we get, I'm not saying that everybody has to go to, quote-unquote, a homeless state, but everybody has to go through a state where they just let go. Because, you know, to some degree, I think what, you know, Osho was saying about, you know, that you can't be present and focusing in the future, that stuff is about goals, and goals is about not being present. If the goal is to just be exactly where you are at the moment that you're there, that, you know, everything else will come in a divine way that is, it's like the mind wants to control and the heart just wants to play in the moment, even if it's playing, you know, in a trailer, you know, because you got nothing else going on. You know, okay, then play in the trailer. And the beauty was the guy who was feeding her the meals. It's like, because there's a part of us inside that as long as we know life will take care of us. I mean, that whole cliche or saying, my being is my sustenance. There is so much empowering manifestation through that saying. Because there is nothing but, you know, people are like, what's the inside and the outside showing us? Inevitably, there's no inside or outside. It's all inside. You know, what we see on the outside is just the interpretation of vibrations through our eyes, our ears, our hands, our throat, you know, our teeth, our tongue. It's all just vibrational. So as long as we know that we'll get through this, we'll get through this. It's not necessarily, your partner might not shift in the same speed or frequency as you. And it's going to be whatever it's going to be, you know. But it's like, it's a very intimate dance, this ascension period, because it's interesting. It's something, it's a phenomenon we're all going through, and yet it's happening to all of us individually.
Yeah.
You know,
what
a paradox.
Well, that's what I think, that being present with, like, each client or student and getting that whatever way they're doing it, like, that's the way. And I'm just their cheerleader to say, okay, good, go that way then. And wherever you shift, I'm just going to be there saying yes to you. And that's a little disconcerting because most people are used to like a coaching where they're saying, well, now you're going to do this and then you're going to do this. And I'm
They want to be told what to do. They want to be and this is not the energy where anyone can tell another being what to do because it's a personal journey to know the relationship with self is if you need someone to tell you, then you don't trust self.
Right. Right, and I think because, like, and I was talking about believing in myself, I think the belief has gotten so deep that my belief in other people is almost radical. It's like, no, you don't understand. Like, one of my gifts is to be able to see someone's spiritual journey, see the way they're doing it, and how it's perfect. Like, that's what I can do very well. So even if it looks like they're absolutely making a fool of themselves, I can show them how it's all moving together and what they're creating and give them a sense of peace around what is right now. Not that it's this way so that you can get here or so that you can process or sin. It is this way because of this moment, what beautiful things happen. So that's really neat. And that I think that ability has given me so much experience in the way of being here now and getting like it is just this and that I can be without things and stuff and job and identity with terms of what my role is, teacher, healer, whatever, and just really be getting that I don't need anything else. And I've gone through phases like a lot of people of just being totally broken, not having a place to live, and I've been through the just relationships that just crumble on a dime, like literally overnight, and abuse. Severe abuse in my childhood. And so I've been through all these periods. And now this coming into self again, I would say again because it's, recycled that way.
I agree. Well said.
Really hitting me deeply in my belly where I'm not just trusting me now. I'm trusting people on really some beautiful levels. I mean, I'm trusting the government and the way it's doing. I'm trusting what's happening in our environment. And not that I'm not doing things that feel right to me. I just am not having an agenda of what right means anymore.
Right.
So there's no sense of, well, I need to do this so I can help the environment or I need to this. I don't have, and honestly, if I try to think ahead that way, my brain actually almost numbs out in a kind of spooky way. Like I can't even get it to do it anymore.
Right.
I was talking to someone recently. I said, I can't even figure out how I'm supposed to go about finding out whether this is good or bad. Like, my brain won't do it. So I'm, like, sitting here in this eerie sort of silence all the time and getting that this is what it's like. And to have a quiet mind is really something, and we wonder why it's so hard to create or why we don't. Well, because it's, for a while, it's extraordinarily foreign to have no projections, no what ifs, and
no agenda.
What does this mean?
Yeah.
So I'm, and then the presence of being in the body, and I'm home a lot. I mean, I don't work that much, and I'm, except for being with my son, but still with him, I'm in my body most of the time, really deeply. I had a lot of time on my hands, and that could be a field day for the mind, and it just doesn't have anything left.
Indeed. Well, but I think, do you spend any time outside, outdoors?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing stuff. I just don't have schedules. Except for, like, picking my son up from school and stuff and making sure he eats and does his homework, I really have nothing. And I'm really not attached to creating any. I don't know what that would be anyway. So, I mean, in terms of running a business, that's a little bit, it can seem tricky. I don't know. I honestly tell you right now, I could call you tomorrow and say, hey, what? Guess what? Business is happening and it's just going to happen. But it really doesn't seem to make a difference to me.
Indeed. Right. I just had a conversation tonight with my kid's grandfather about the beauty and the wisdom in someone saying, I don't know. How open and vulnerable we can be, and how really in sync with nature that is. Because nature doesn't say, we need to know where the tree is going to grow. I need to know these things because I have to organize the forest. You know,
right.
Nature doesn't care. The seeds drop, the trees grow, some die, some don't, some flourish, some, you know, it's like it really is about us becoming more natural because there is a divine knowing and there is, you know, it's kind of like unplugging, also I'm hearing this in my head right now, it's about unplugging from the ego's will and becoming part of, you know, the creator's will.
Right.
Because
well, when you know that it shows up, and I mean, I
in the moment,
people, yeah, it will be there. Like, you don't know how. I spoke on Sunday at a workshop, creating or connecting to your inner muse, and I didn't even know until right before I got there what I was going to say, and I was like the speaker. You know,
that's a beautiful thing. See, it's you're helping
up.
You're learning to trust that because, I mean, I hope it went well because if you trusted it, I'm sure it went beautifully. You said everything they needed to hear for that particular audience at that particular moment.
Yes, and it that came into the whole thing because the muse isn't planning or agendizing; it's just being, and it's in this place of ever-present beauty and seeing the possibility in every moment. And to see the possibility in the moment, you have to be in the moment. And,
exactly.
I had great stories that came up. I had metaphors that just all kind of course, fell in my lap perfectly.
Exactly. Awesome.
As it
well,
does,
you know,
yeah.
If you ask any creator, you know, if you, Oprah has a new show on her Now Network, something about the Masters, and there are all these, you know, people who are very successful in, you know, business and life. And they all, the one thing they had in common of the shows that I saw was that creativity and inspiration cannot be forced.
Right.
It is something that, it is in the quietness, it is in the stillness, it's in the peace of being present that inspiration comes and creativity comes. Then once you get a draft, then you can act. But to act from sheer doing that, I got to make this happen. I got to make this, you know, got to get it done. Got to get it done. You know, you can feel the level of anxiety in that type of creating as opposed to the trusting and the relaxing and the playing and allowing it just to, you know, or even sleeping. You know, most people don't even know that or realize Einstein's, you know, m equals e squared 2, whatever the hell that thing is.
Right.
He got that in his sleep.
Right.
I mean, he wrote it out when he was clearly, you know, when he was conscious. But that whole thing that you know, time is bent by gravity, that wisdom came to him in twilight, in sleep. And,
right.
You know, how many people do you know are working their butts off and are sleep deprived going, I got to come up with something. I got to come up with something. It's like, go to sleep. It's okay. There's so much, you know, play. And they're like, I can't play. I got to get work done. It's like, you'll get it done if you play it effortlessly. It'll drop into your being like a packet, whole and complete.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We're so used to unfolding linearly, you know, which is, you brilliantly stated that, you know, when you used to work with the clients, there was a process. We're leaving process because we're leaving linear time.
Right.
So things don't take, it's not A, B, C, it's a matter of insight, A, I mean, question A, insight, Z.
Right.
You know, we're there.
yeah. In fact, you know, and then just the idea of the questioning is, like, because my brain isn't coming up with adequate questions or strings of thought that I can point to and say, well, we need to figure that one out. The whole thing has become the body, and I don't even, you know, I have to spend a little time and say, okay, what's going on with my body? Because I'm so in the flow of it, and the answers will come in, but when they come in, they're so short and simple. And I would really
absolutely
have to work hard to make a paragraph out of it, and I could, but then I'd have to go up into my mind, and I'm just sitting pretty in this space of, oh, yeah, here. And I don't know. It's and there's, like you were talking about, the answer in the question or the problem in the solution and the spaces that they hold. And really just going, okay, I feel this kind of tension in my belly or a sadness coming up. And I just go right there, and I'm sitting in the answer, and I just wait until my body gets it. And it's there's nothing to do. There's literally
exactly.
nothing to do except to say, okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Surrendering. Surrendering mm-hmm. is a huge part of the transition between, you know, a head space of living and a heart space of living. Huge.
Right.
Because the mind resists all the wisdom the heart wants to offer, going, no, that's not the way we got to do it. We got to do it this way. And the heart, see, the beauty of the heart that I'm finding is the heart will never even tell the mind that it's wrong. It'll just wait patiently till the mind's exhausted and then get it, you know, and then be it.
Right.
It doesn't even argue.
Right. It's like, well, you can do that, and it's just okay. It's just going to sit there and love you the same way it always
has. Exactly.
And it's fun to watch how much the mind wants to get to participate and the ways that we've tied it into our identity of figuring it out. I was reading this one thing, and it was about our addiction to being clever, and that it was one of the worst addictions because it's that, oh, I figured it out. Here was the problem, and now I know why it was that way, and now I know why. And I realized my addiction to being clever was huge for me. So what if I never was smart again? What if I never could say, well, that's because, and pull out some beautiful thing from my mouth? I was like, holy crap, I have created all of me out of this. I have the answer. And what if I didn't? And so now here I'm sitting going, I don't know, Goldie. I don't have the answer.
You know, we have so much in common. I have addiction of being clever, too. Absolutely. And I absolutely resonate with, you know, the fear of, you know, so what, I'm dumb. You know, and it's funny. I can definitely tell you it still does. And I don't think it's a matter of dumb. It's just a matter of the wisdom doesn't necessarily, you know, the best way I can say this is just honestly, because all my life I've always wanted to be clever, it's so ironically humorous that as I go into the most intelligent aspect of my being, I'm super-sized dumb. Because, of course it's going to happen because we have to experience all sides of coins. You know, another thing about the minute you had said I didn't have good questions, and there's a brilliance in your awareness of that because a question cannot come into your being without you not already having the answer. It's impossible.
Right. Yeah.
So to formulate, you know, pertinent questions means you have those answers.
Right.
And these are all the things that the heart knows. The brain doesn't know that. The brain is like, well, I have a question, now I got to go find the answer. The heart goes, just flip the question because it's on the other side of that is the answer.
Right.
It has the ability to see from different perspectives. And it's not even like you have to tell the heart to do that. That's a natural function of the heart, to be multidimensional, to be multi-perspective. That's why the heart clearly sees someone in rage, but often as someone in fear.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because there's always two sides to everything, and there's such beauty in this. I promise you that 2 weeks ago I was feeling very similar to where you're feeling, and I'm still, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm out here. I'll say it the way I am. I'm still on thin ice on this heart experience, but I know that it's where I want to be, even though I don't know how to navigate. I don't have the words. And just in 2 weeks, I've gained a momentum where at least I'm not like, you know, I mean, I had oxygen on my back when I was here before. You know, I called my girlfriend. I was supposed to do tarot card readings on the show that night, and exactly like you, I went, I literally came on the show and went, forget it. I can't read anybody's cards because I don't even know what's going on in my own being. And by the blessings that be, and I hope I can be as a blessing to you as my girlfriend Stephanie was for me, who happened to call when the show was on, and I was like, she is one of my teachers of the heart. And I was like, will you come on the show with me? I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, spontaneously called the show and just radiated presence. I mean, the three women in my life that are literally showing me how to live a life, and I'm not saying that men don't have this ability. It's just for me, it just so happens I've got three women in my life that are showing me. They take their time when they speak. They if they're writing posts, they don't spell everything correctly, and it doesn't matter. It's like nothing matters that the mind thinks is important. When you feel these women, you feel a sense of peace, of love, of being accepted for exactly where you are. There's zero fear that they won't love me because I'm a knucklehead, you know, in the middle of this transition between my head and my heart. I mean, I know from those three, I know, and I tell them all the time, like you, I'm a cheerleader. I mean, like, it's so amazing. Tonight, of all nights, I feel so reflecting between me and you, you know, so like, wow, we are so much alike. truly, I mean, down to certain things you've said, I'm like, wow, Marianne, I didn't know that. But, and there, it's presence. When you're coming through the heart, it's the presence is this, like, it's a knowing that let the tides rise, let the earth shake, because there's even a wisdom that I sense that it goes even beyond life and death. You even know that, you know, if you're going to die, you're going to die in presence, not in fear. You know, there's no fear in death. You know, it's like everything. And it was interesting because I know at one point we talked about doing a show with your son. I would say hands down, your son is one of those representatives, so to speak, of heart and presence for you in your life.
Yeah.
And to see how they, and I know, you know, these kids that are just beaming with presence. I mean, they're like, you know, they're little lighthouses, you know, that are just, whoa, their auras and their light, and it's not nothing, it's not egoic. It is just, you know, because they're still kids, and it's not like they don't get into trouble or anything like that. There's just this knowingness about them that they're peacemakers. You know, they see the beauty in everything instead of, you know, the mind, which wants to point out all the problems so it can analyze. That's what the mind wants to do.
They're not like, oh, I'm going to be this great, wise, spiritual, heart-centered person so that I can, like, have a business or a practice and
exactly.
I can say I'm a Reiki master, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
They're doing and being so easily, and I think it's one of the most important things on our planet right now to see them coming in with the same wisdom that we come in to through a lot of experience. Not necessarily
exactly.
They don't have experience, but they're refreshing us and the way our mind understands learning, that in order to have this, there's a certain process I go through in order to arrive, and here they're just doing it. And you go, wait a second, so this whole thing is still, this is another story I have in my head about how far I've come so that I can approve of myself, so that I can feel smart, so that I can blah, blah, blah. And they're not in any of that. And so where does it all come from? They're just in their hearts, just like you're saying. It's all there. You know, they don't have to come into it or go through a process of releasing themselves or anything like that. You know, they're
exactly.
Just,
they're wired for it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going through an upgrade. But again, I mean, just recently, I got a virus on my computer that wiped out my entire hard drive.
Oh.
And of course, but it was literally in sync with me dropping into my heart, because in the heart, it wiped out my entire brain. I mean, I couldn't speak. I couldn't. I don't understand the language of the heart. And it's so funny because this is the first time when I got my computer back. I don't have any of my. She just downloaded Windows 7, but I don't have any like an Adobe reader. I don't have a zip file reader or a PDF reader. And so I'm learning all these things because I have to download them individually. I am not computer, you know, I don't have a lot of knowledge on the computer. It usually just works, and I can work it. But as far as, you know, downloading programs, I'm having just a hell of a time doing this. But I'm cracking up because I know it's life showing me. Because, you know, I was, like, talking to a friend of mine, going, can't you just wipe it off, give me XP and call it a day? And he's like, is that really what you want? And I was like, no, I want this upgrade. I want this upgrade because the simple fact is I have to learn to be fluid in my ability to adjust anew, You know, Almeen's teachings taught me, be fluid, always be fluid. Don't get stuck in a way that things have to be this way in order for me to function, because that's a mindset.
Right.
And so my life, you know, I might not have, quote-unquote, the significant other in my life, but my computer, who I'm absolutely having a love affair with, is showing me, you know, well, right, because it's, you know, if we let life show us, it will show us. And Polar Bear, I know you're listening, and I love you, love you, love you, baby. So don't think I don't love you, even if I say you're not my significant other. Okay, just had to put that out there for a second. That was a little, remember when Bugs Bunny used to hold up the signs, you know, dingbat, crackpot?
Right.
Yes, that was my little sign. So for me, not for Polar Bear.
Well, this,
anyway.
I think this goes along with what you were saying. This is from Heath is the last name. Herman Heath. He wrote a book called Siddhartha. And,
he wrote a book called what? Called what?
Siddhartha.
Oh, Siddhartha. Okay, okay.
Yeah. And he gives a definition of enlightenment that it just was so perfect. I think it goes really great here. He wrote, it is quite simple, really. A kind of understanding that goes beyond having and not having, claiming or not claiming. It is more like an extreme tolerance of cognitive dissonance, a complete selfless openness that embraces both knowing and not knowing, consciousness and unconsciousness, rather than some sort of resolved state of final closure, as one might expect.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Isn't that great? I mean, we're talking
exactly right. That's it.
Yeah, because we're saying, I know and I don't know. And I can be in that cognitive dissonance where it's not all coming together and I don't have all the answers, but I'm open to both. And neither one is giving me more of a hit to my ego to be in the knowing or in the not knowing, or to have to claim some truth that I can put on a billboard and say, this is who I am or this is what I know. And instead saying, you know what? I might know that today, and I may also erase it tomorrow. Or
exactly,
you know, anything.
Yes, yes. In other words, you can't hold on to anything. Almeen's mantra is, "I know nothing." She doesn't even claim to know. She's like, every day I go in saying, "I know nothing," because then it's almost like the fluidity of something new. It comes in because if you know nothing, there's literally no boxes in our being. Now, I am not at a place where I know nothing, because that scares the poop out of me. But life and the frequencies of this, well, life and the frequencies of this planet are clearly taking away what I do know. You know, I'm not necessarily letting it go, but when it starts leaving, I have the wisdom to say, okay, I won't hold on to it, but, you know, I don't know if I'm going to wake up one day and not know how to drive, or, you know, I don't know how this works because I'm losing my mind. You know, the mind is more than just a way to function of analyzing and problem solving. You know, the mind allows me to get from point A to point B. It allows me to brush my teeth and get dressed. And so I'm not quite sure if at some point do we lose that as well. And, you know, if we do, I certainly hope I'm in a good space. I land on something soft and, go from there, because who knows? Crazy, but really, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mentioned that book, Nothing to Do, Nowhere to Go. And, you know, this it's Master Lin Ji, and apparently his work that he did is probably mostly when we read about Buddha, it's his translations of that. And so he's pretty, a while ago, I don't have the dates in front of me, but, you know, he talks about have nowhere to go, have nothing to do, have no plan
right.
or agenda. He said, you know, all you need to do is be an ordinary person, be sovereign wherever you are, and use that place as your seat of awakening. And so it's just be ordinary. And my brain just goes, one second, I've life being extraordinary, and now I'm going to be really ordinary. And I
yeah,
know
but you
that
can't get to extraordinary except through ordinary.
What
I mean,
that?
Osho says, if you try to be extraordinary, you'll fail at every turn.
Right.
It's in the ordinary that extraordinary exists.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's kind of where I'm going now, where I'm not interested in having the titles or anything, but I can't not be present with people and who I am, so that's going to
okay.
happen. But the difference is, like, I'm wearing a pretty piece of jewelry, and I'm not asking you to wear the same thing. You know, I'm not
right.
saying your life would be happier or better if you wore one, too. I'm just saying
right.
this is what makes me feel good. So this is who I am, and I'm being it.
Which is beautiful. That's being authentic. Hello? Marianne? Uh-oh. Hello? Okay. Be beautiful. Hang up. Call back. Okay, she just did. So, okay. Well, let's see. Anybody want to talk? Call in. You do. Oh, there's Marianne again. Okay. Hello?
Hi, I'm here.
No, that was very quick. God bless. You got me on speed dial?
I do. You're in my phone.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, actually, this is just the thing. It's all good. Because actually, I'm getting the sense we should talk more. I resonate with you. I do. If you're open to that, I mean, and it's all good, you know. How do we do that? Oh, I don't know. Just live in the moment.
I know, right? Well, how can you not? I mean, and the thing is you know, and you read about it, and you know that if I just let go and I just relax, it's all going to vibrate with me, and it all happens. But when you do let go and you relax, what happens is all of your stuff bubbles up, and that's terrifying. So you're like, holy crap, so I'm relaxing into a big pile of poop. Nice. That's not really what I was going for.
But it's only because
where
that,
you're
poop
just,
is, that poop is part of self. In other words, it's about reevaluating how it is poop, but if it's a part of self, it's time for that part of self to come home.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you can't
and that's
ascend
what you get.
Without that. Pardon?
No, and every single part of you is a part of you. You can't
exactly.
say. And I was talking to someone recently about, you know, the government and these conspiracy theories about needing to get rid of 2/3 of the planet, and that if we could do that, then the environment would be okay, and then financially we'd be covered. And I said, well, don't you do that too? Aren't you wishing about 2/3 of yourself away?
Oh, wow. Very nice.
And they were like, and I said, yeah, because you have an experience and you have a feeling and you wish it weren't there and you want to kill it.
Right.
You know, I mean, you cannot look at this and not see yourself and not see that part of you that thinks it would all be okay if we just got rid of the lot. You know,
right.
You know, we're just, of course, seeing ourselves everywhere, but
right.
that's a little point.
In that void again, woo, floating around in that facial space.
Oh, you have no idea.
Oh, you're so adorable, Marianne. I love you. I'm so glad you came on the show. You're brilliant. You are brilliant.
Yeah.
You
well,
are.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. It's true.
My thoughts are just like, if I come up with anything interesting, I'm really excited because I've just been so quiet and it's been great and odd, but I'm having fun and that's good.
Yeah, that is very good. That's a wonderful space to be in. If you're going to be in the void, it's almost like I tell people, when I'm trying really hard to make something happen, instead of just having what is happening, you know, then I'm working against myself. So, you know, I've learned, because, I mean, I've had points in my life where, you know, and the funny part with me is I instigate these things. Like, I remember I was living on my own. My brother came over one night. We had a conversation, and he asked me if I was passionate about nannying. And I was working for a family that essentially, it was the first job I had after my mom died. And the mother would come home, and it was one little baby, so guilt-ridden about being at work all day, it was her first baby, that she would not acknowledge me. I mean, literally would come home and just acknowledge the baby and not acknowledge me. And, you know, I'm a very personable person. It was a bad scene, but it was paying the rent on my apartment. So my brother says to me one night, are you passionate about being a nanny? You know, and I had basically, there were other issues going on with this family as well. And I was like, at that particular moment, especially with my mom just passing a year before, I was like, no. He's like, well, then stop acting like a sage, or stop talking like a sage and act like one. And the next day I went in and quit.
Nice.
Like,
that's
what a sage would do. Well, and then about 2 weeks after that, it's so funny, I didn't know I was going to talk about this tonight, but it does seem appropriate because I set the intention to talk about it. 2 weeks later, I had excellent credit at this point, and I consciously decided to take, you know how if you have credit cards in the back, they give you 3 checks on your account, and you can write checks up to like 10 grand?
Yeah.
I did that. I did that, and when I wrote and cashed my first check, I never had the intention of paying it back. I literally said, I'll go bankrupt before I'm not paying this back. And for 3 years,
that's awesome.
I lived on credit cards. And I let the job go. I went through major, major emotional experiences. I ended up booting my roommate out. I lived in a area that was, quote-unquote, the bad part of town, and made friends with drug dealers and hoodlums, and everybody was welcome in my house, but there were no guns and no swearing allowed. And they'd come in and get tarot card readings, and I would buy, like, tons of food in my fridge, and I would feed these kids who had, you could just tell they were so spiritually unnourished from their environment, you know. Their environment basically shit on them, and so they shit on each other. And there was truly a metamorphosis in my house that they were, the drug dealers would work the corner and watch to protect my house, that nobody came and bothered me. I mean, it was just this weird, bizarre, beautiful experience. And the reason why I'm sharing this is, first of all, it took a lot of balls for me to take that step of quitting my job and then basically living on credit cards, mostly because I was raised by a father who's, you know, to put him in a nutshell, he's a Jewish engineer.
Oh, my God.
My father considers credit alongside bathing. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
You keep your credit clean because, you know, this is his whole life. He has worked hard, and my father has incredible integrity. His word is golden. Now, I still feel I have integrity because what I did, you know, I didn't steal money from a person. They sent me the checks and the money, and if all I had to do was check my income, I had not been on the books forever. And they just kept sending me, you know, I would mark the $200,000 box, you know, how much does he make in your household? $200,000. And they would send me several credit cards. So I cashed them in. And the reason why this worked for me is because, A, I have no guilt around not paying my bills, in the sense of, at this point, since I've gone bankrupt, I do everything in cash. All my bills are paid. But I look at those credit cards as, all we have to do is look at the banking system. The banking system, the mortgage system, the systems we have based in this country are literally run by criminals. So just like when I sold drugs, there was a lot of, you know, shit going on between drug dealers. Well, I know how to play dirty in a dirty field. You know, I know how to, you want to give me $52,000 in 3 years? Rock and roll, brother. I don't have any guilt about not paying you back because you're corrupt. You know, what the hell are you doing sending me credit cards for?
The thing is we're at some point we realize we're living in a system that doesn't make sense at all because it's a system of having to earn one's keep or feel like we're always owing something and that we have to prove our worth or value all the time.
And their keep, that's a program. That's an overlay. That's a hypnotic overlay.
Right. Making that decision to take the credit was like this, I don't want to buy into this anymore. And so I'm going to create myself a problem where I then could feel indebted and then I'm not going to. And just watch that I feel and still see that I produce and am worth something. And there's probably 1,000 ways where you are creating and putting your value into the planet that there's no money coming in. There's no dollar bills.
Exactly. Rock and roll system.
Here you go.
Yes.
New exchange. And so you don't even know for how many thousands of reasons that money was already yours.
No, indeed.
It was already yours.
Right. I tell people all the time, be creative. And I'm not saying, you know, quote, unquote. Remember when I told you I live in the dark side? I break laws. I do break laws. I've broken laws for part of my life.
I'm a big proponent of law breakers.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. The laws I break are not spiritual laws. The laws I break are the laws that say O.J. Simpson didn't kill his wife. You know, there is something about our legal system and that kind of law that, in all honesty, I'm an indigo. It's just a crock of shit. All of it that you can, because I live in a very wealthy area. You buy the truth. That's the truth. You buy it.
Yeah.
And I'm just not one to play that. And like you said, I just knew that I needed my sovereignty because I lived for 3 years on that money. That's literally $17,000 a year. I wasn't exactly living large. You know, I wasn't out there buying ships and yachts and things like that. I just paid my bills. I didn't work, and I literally evolved spiritually. That is what I was doing.
There's this beautiful phase, and I've watched it in anybody who's kind of coming into themselves, where they do. They get rid of the obligation. They get rid of their job. They live on the system for a while. They live on almost nothing, or they live with their parents. And what we don't honor yet in our society is that process and journey is integral to our planet's survival and well-being. And there's no monetary system that's helping assist people through that. There's nothing that's saying, hey, Goldie, you're going to give a gift to the planet. And for three years, you're going to explore self, and you're going to bring that to the world, and we're all going to evolve because of this gift of letting go. Instead, we point the finger and say, hey, but you weren't working money, and what were you doing for that? And that's basically stealing. No, 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 no.
I had a woman at a Unity church literally jump up out of her chair and come into my face, attacking me with that, with exactly what you just said, when I spoke what I just spoke on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
because fear does that. That's what fear does. Fear makes an animal defensive.
They don't want to give themselves that right, and they, like, so with me.
And they certainly don't want to see it. You're absolutely right.
No. Well, because if you're doing it, then that means I could too, and I'm not safe enough yet to give myself that authority within myself. So, like, I give myself the right to say, I say no to people all the time. It doesn't make any difference to me. You could ask me to help with something. I would say, I don't know, maybe not, and not feel bad. And it's so frustrating for people because they're like, but wait, I have to. If you ask me, I would have to. I'm like, but I wouldn't. A, probably ask you unless I knew you wanted to, so that's kind of convenient. but there's no obligation. That you are putting that obligation there is all you.
Absolutely.
Here you're doing something and standing and saying, A, I don't believe in this idea that I need to buy my worth and value on this planet, that I shouldn't be always supported by the universe, whether I'm making chairs, babysitting children, or nurturing my soul. All of those things are worth something. But we don't have a system that says, hey, you know what, just like when you go to through education, we have programs to help people manage themselves during that time where they're not producing.
Right.
But they're producing people. They're producing self. They're producing knowledge. And we value that. But we don't have programs that, you know, the government's not paying and saying, go develop your spirituality and take 3 years off, and we're going to support you because it's different.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, I mean, I've been looking. I've never had unemployment or anything, and I'm looking at myself this month. I'm like, I'm at a position where I need to consider, you know, government assistance. And I'm like, that actually works for me because I kind of consider myself kind of like a minister.
There you go.
And in which case, and I am a minister, I mean, I have my minister's license. I don't have a quote-unquote church, but my ministry is my life. So I'm like, I'm really okay with that.
Well, and the whole idea is you're opening up to being, you know, what you're supposed to be divinely. You know, it is opening you up. You are a minister. I mean, and the fact that you actually have, you are a minister, you know, that you were ordained, I mean, well, kudos to you. But meaning, a lot of us are, Marianne, who's the one who wrote Return to Love? Williamson.
Williamson, yeah.
Yeah, she says our ministry is our Rolodex. You know, that's, all of us are, you know what I mean? Especially, not all, I mean, the healers and the ones who are basically, you know, they're just the little, you know, not a little, I don't want to, let me think before I speak this. The insights came, people around us know it, and they come to us for those insights. Because, you know, this is so interesting, because another thing that happened this week, which was really interesting, is I have a friend of mine who, I said that when I dropped into my heart, my relationships are shifting. She's a beautiful woman, but she's very much still in her mind. Now, she's beginning to come into her heart because, for the first time in like 9 years, she's in a relationship. She was not in a relationship. She literally lived alone. She worked from home. You know, she was very isolated, and she met a guy, and he moved in, he moved out, he's coming back over, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is, I would call her up and, you know, be like, I need to talk to you. And the last few times I called her, she was like, you know, she basically blew me off. Listen, you know, I got other things going on, I can't talk to you. And I'm okay with that, but there's never a sense that, you know, like she'll call me in the middle of the night and I'll wake up to give her heartfelt attention and focus and help her through her crises, and I didn't feel it returned. And I get it. She's in her head. In her head, she doesn't feel the need to feel my issues. She's dealing in that psychosis of the mind, which she's got her own problems. So what happened was I had a dream one morning with her in it. And she is a paid psychic, like she's one of the psychics on like a 1-900 number.
Mm-hmm.
So she said to me in the dream, this is after she had blown me off a few times, I hadn't spoken to her, and she said to me in the dream, what I think you need to do is you need to tell me, you need to charge me if I call you. And I was really hesitant in the dream. I went, really? And she was like, well, that's the value I need to give to you for what you do for me. For, you know, forget the thank yous. I need to pay you the way they call me, and I get paid. And within 20 minutes of waking up from the dream, she called me, and I said, oh, well, the fact that you're calling me, I need to drop this in your lap. I went, you're not going to believe this, but you just told me something in a dream. And, you know, I shared it with her, and, you know, I could tell she was like, I said that, and then she was kind of like, well, yeah, I can see myself saying that. You know, and then she started talking, and I was like, listen, I got to run to work, but I was like, listen, I would love to talk with you, but you know what? I need an exchange here, and I'm cool I'm cool if it's money, you know, but I mean, I would have taken the heart, but she's not in her heart. She's not, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't about that, but I don't know. It was just an interesting thing to say that, you know, from a space of, you know what I mean? Like, I felt empowered when I said it, but I don't know. It's hard to explain. It was
when you're going into your heart, there, it's so frustrating because it takes so much energy and awareness and time and patience with the self, but there's not a money exchange going on oftentimes. And from the heart, you just give, you know, you just love. And yet, you know, if you were hanging out with me in my house and we live together and you clean the house, I could give that value and say, oh, you're earning your keep here. Great. But if you're just being a space of love, how do I quantify what you are providing and what that value is? And
you're absolutely right because it's an interesting aspect because, you know, we still need to pay our bills. It's like, even though, I don't know, maybe it'll never be that I pay my bills through spiritual counseling, even though I do it often enough. And I'm not saying, I love doing it. I love being, I love assisting somebody in having an aha moment. I love it.
There's
nothing more gratifying. But on the same thought, I'll be honest with you, it was my heart that I believe gave me the cognitive awareness. I went lucid in my dream because, see, it was her that told me, charge me. It was almost like it was her message. Because, like, as I've evaluated this, because, of course, that's still what the mind wants to do, she's in the process of, she's going through a lot of poverty consciousness right now. And it's because of the way she segregates in her mind she gets paid for every time they make those phone calls. You know, but she doesn't see the value of that for anybody else. It's just her getting paid for those phone calls. She's not recognizing the value of all of the things that are going on within her life, so it's blocking her. Because I've never said that to, you know, quote unquote, a friend before. You know, like, okay, don't call me anymore. Drop $50 in my PayPal account. Like, I've never said that. But see, that's the thing. I think with the heart, similar to the writing the check from the credit cards, it literally just says it's like, just do this. Because in other words, it looks like it's a bad thing, but it's, there's a perfection and a divinity in it that I know because in my belly, I just feel okay with it. And like you said, there's definitely something inside of me. After you make enough choices that go against the grain, I've learned that I don't ask permission for what I do. Now, I could piss a lot of people off, and I know I do. And I honor that, and, you know, they're probably not listening tonight. I don't think my girlfriend, who I told that, is listening to the show tonight. But I don't care. In other words, I'm not living for what others think of me and pleasing others. I mean, I hope to live in a community that absolutely, you know, I'm aware of them, but I don't need permission from anyone to be authentic. I need, in my authenticity, as I accept my authenticity, I need to accept others' authenticity. Because I personally love authentic relationships, like what you were saying earlier tonight about, you know, giving your partner permission to say something that's not so nice. It's like, oh, I don't want a candy-coated ass-kisser in my life. God knows I've had plenty of those. I mean, I don't even know why I attract them. I think it's because I'm so revolted by it. I just... Don't be an ass-kisser and tell me the truth. I piss you off. Tell me that. I'm okay with that. Let's dialogue on it. Let's talk about it from an authentic space, and you own your feelings, I'll own my feelings, and we can dance the night away. You know, it's like there's so much potential in that.
Beautiful. It's so beautiful when people are just laying themselves out with their bellies open like that. I mean...
Yes.
Oh, and the energy builds, and people are looking at each other honestly, and the flood of emotion that's released. I mean, I just love that. I just was going to walk around where everybody is just like saying, oh, hey, and then I did this horrible thing, and I have these feelings about it. And we're just like, I mean, just the ride of being a human when we're being authentic with each other is enough. Like, we don't even get it. If we were just honest with each other, we wouldn't hardly need anything else. We would be so amused.
Marianne, I'll be honest with you. The piece that I spoke about tonight, the bankruptcy, was the last piece of authenticity I had to air live on the show.
Oh.
I mean, I've talked about
my
molestation, but I swear to God, I've thought about that. I'm like, you want to live transparent, Goldie? Inevitably, you got to talk about that. And your energy clearly showed me the way tonight. I mean, thank you. Thank you, love.
Oh, my God. I'm just thrilled. I love it when people discover something new within themselves, and in the same moment where there could be judgment, it just passes.
Isn't.
And you're just sitting there smiling, going, I love you. You absolutely blow my mind and make me, oh, it's good. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I mean, well, here I am, you know, I've spent my life, you know, I used to be an English teacher, and I had success, and I then left it to become this other thing, and spent my wheels and all my energy to become this thing, and I made $300 last month. You know, I mean, it doesn't add up when you look at how we try to figure these things in the mind, and if you try to make that make sense, it certainly looks like failure, and yet I can't get my body to do it. So I'm sitting here, you know, shrugging my shoulders saying, well, I don't know. And I feel really okay. And I have this trust in the fact that you did that with your credit cards. And when someone comes to me and they're having an affair and me guiding them into where is God right now? Not where does God show up when we learn something.
Right.
But where is it happening? And, like, just being able to, like, form this beautiful network of perfect experiencing and feeling is just, I don't know, I'm talking in circles again. I can tell my brain.
No, you're beautiful.
Like,
don't dismiss it. It's beautiful.
No.
It's beautiful.
You can see how I'm still grappling with it, though, because I'm so used to having it together that this kind of falling apart on a mental level is weird for me that there's the language.
But you're feeling,
not there,
to be honest, what you're radiating is a compassion, an acceptance. I can feel it, and it means so much more to feel accepted, because I mean that was a big thing for me, and not because I mean, I'll be honest, I almost wore it as a badge at one point. It's like, yeah, I beat the system. You know, I went bankrupt, and then, to be honest, that woman attacked me at the church, which was like, holy moly. And then I also, you know, go into, well, I don't want to piss anybody off who's, you know, I'm not saying not to pay your bills, but I'm telling you, you got to answer to yourself. You got to be able to look at yourself, because I can look at myself in the mirror, and after everything I've done in my life, I have no regrets. I mean, I really don't have regrets. I have things that I still want to do, and, you know, if they're going to happen, they're going to happen. If they're not, they're not. But it's like, I mean, I don't have a regret that I was a drug addict and a drug dealer for 12 years. And people are like, but you have to regret that, because that's not, you know, you weren't a very good role model. And it was like, well, I was a damn good role model for the people in the drug world, because I brought presents
right.
to that
world. Yes.
Because people act like they don't matter. And it's like, Excuse me, everybody matters.
The thing is, Goldie, what kind of person does it take that can know themselves and know their beauty through an experience like that? You know, to take yourself down into
a deep darkness.
You know, a deep darkness and be in a hell situation and hold space. Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, that's brilliant right there. You cannot.
If you look at all the not the realtors, the mortgage, the Saks, whatever, these big mortgage companies that all went belly up, you know, when the government had the, you know, the bailouts. The truth of the matter is they are corrupt, just as corrupt as drug dealers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like they were skimming money off the top. They were giving mortgages to people they knew couldn't afford them and didn't care. Did not care that they were going to foreclose on their homes. Didn't care. Gave them the mortgage just to do. I don't know how the whole system works. But I know that, you know, it's like when people, that's why I brought up that we all have addictions. Because, see, once we start looking at life really from a platform of
this is all of us. We're all in this. We're all ugly. We're all beautiful. We're all acceptable. We're all non-acceptable. You know what I mean? None of us are not a part of this experience because there's really only one being here. You know, it's like, hey, I know it comes back to that, but it's like, so it's so much easier to be neutral. I mean, I really am the poster child for the dark because I want people to know that if you're dark, you absolutely are light as well. Just like having the answers, you have the, you know, having the questions, you have the answers. If you were dark, that doesn't mean you're damned in this life. No, you can turn that around and find the beauty by simply accepting yourself for being exactly who you are. I mean, really.
Right. I mean, we're just, we're so good at judging and putting labels and determining who people are by this external thing. And the one thing I've, one of the main things I've gotten from all my readings is we're all identical. It's all one journey. Nobody's got it different. Nobody has a different story. It's the same story, and it's told over and over again. I'm not loved enough. I'm not wanted enough. People don't understand me, and I feel disconnected. And however you want to experience that is great, but everybody's doing it in their own way, whether they're in their own personal hell or in their in a drug thing or in their in an abusive relationship. We're all doing it.
Or a workaholic.
A government official that gets to put on a smile and put on their suit and feel like they're doing the right thing when they know that they're doing this other thing. And what it's all doing is making us autonomous, authentic beings. Being in our heart, being able to look through and say, no matter what it looks like on the outside, I know that you want the same thing I do. And I know that you just don't know how to find it yet. And if I hold space around you, you're going to find it, and we're going to look at each other and say, oh, my God, that was funny. Look at the jokes you pulled on me. You know, we're just, it's a big, fun, cool game that we're all in the midst of breaking free of and starting to look at each other honestly. And we can't bitch about the you know, bankers or the government or anything because we're all one organism and it's all manifesting
Absolutely.
The right way.
Absolutely.
And we know, and this is from my perspective, is this is exactly how my mind wanted it so I could be the me that I'm being right now. And until I let go of my need to be this person, I hold you in the place of being this person that I've projected you as.
Right.
So when I release my identity as being this Marianne who is this teacher and all this, when I let her go, I give you permission to let yours go. And suddenly the veil rises and we see each other as we are. And I'm excited for that because I think it's going to be fun.
It's going to be amazing because the beings that are going to be in front of us are going to be angelic, reptilian, childlike. I mean, there's so much to multidimensional beings. We are not just people. We are
right.
animals, mineral, plants. We're all of it. Wow. It's like we go from being, you know, remember when TVs used to just be 12 channels?
Right.
You know, it's like we're going from 12 channels to, well, in actuality, if you look at the DNA, we're going from 2 channels to 12 channels, but those 12 channels are opening up 800 channels, infinite channels. I mean, like it is opening up the entire experience to be that literally anything can show up. That's the beauty of not knowing. If you don't know what's going to show up, then anything can show up.
Yeah, and the little bit that everybody needs to remember and I need to remember is when I let go, the universe shows up in something magical
exactly.
and beautiful. And every time it's the perfect thing. When I let my brain go and I quit trying to create from this mental construct of what I think my needs are and what will happen if I don't meet them. And when I let that go, it's been divine. And right now I'm in the midst of a whole new, I don't know what it is yet, but I know it's going to be good.
It can be no other way. It's a benevolent universe. It can be no other way. And even if it's painful, that doesn't mean it's not good.
No,
because
it doesn't mean, and what's interesting is it doesn't mean I still won't enjoy it because I've gotten to the point where I can be in the pain and actually be tripping on how cool it is of what I'm doing, because I can feel myself creating and processing, even though I have no conscious idea what it is. So it's all, like, we just can't do A equals A anymore, or 1 equals 1. I mean, we are at the point where it's all equaling everything. And it might blow our minds for a while. We may not know what the answers are, but we can feel it and we can taste it. And if we just kind of be patient with our bodies and let them do what they do, they're going to bring us right into that aha.
That's
like
exactly right. They're going to bring us through it. Because there is another side to this. I mean, we're not going to be in this level of chaos forever. We're reaching the pinnacle, you know, the apex is when we're at the, you know, I remember when I first saw the two trilogies, The Matrix and Lord of the Rings. And when we finally got to the third movie of both of those shows, I was like, if you look at both of those trilogies, in the third movies, the chaos of the negative is just blatant. You know, in The Matrix, the machines are in Zion. I mean, they are blatantly losing the war. And in Lord of the Rings, they're all surrounding, you know, the six of the main characters. They have to create a diversion because in both movies, it's either Neo or Frodo, where one being does something, and then in the nick of time, everything changes.
Yeah.
That's exactly how we're going to go into heaven on earth, because that's the nature of spirit. Spirit doesn't move until the 11th hour and the 59th second and 99999.9 before it hits 12. That's when spirit comes in and changes everything.
And we are all individually that person, which is the coolest part, because when we look back, it will be everybody has a moment and they let go or they open, and it will be, it's just cool to think. There's nobody that's left out of this. We're all doing it.
This is a crazy thing to start, because I mean we're not going to be streaming in about 5 seconds. But did you see the movie Inception?
Yeah, I did. Loved it.
Okay, because, I mean, I can't really talk about this now because we're at the end of the top of the show, but listen, we're going to do a conference call. If you're into it, I'd love for you to be a part of the call, because one of the things I'm starting to understand just by watching that movie is anybody who doesn't survive, so to speak, within my visual world, creators cannot die. So if people are dying around us, that just means that they're not actually the souled being. They're the trajectory, or they're the projection of that being. Because realities are going to start collapsing all around us. All of a sudden it hit me, why do the seven major characters of both The Matrix and Lord of the Rings, they all lived, actually, except Trinity. Trinity died, but first she died, and then Neo brought her back. And I just have this feeling like people don't—they don't die. I think their aspects die, or they'll walk out of their body. Like it's going to be different than a chaotic death. A chaotic death is what happens when a dimension shuts down. But as a creator, we're going to walk out of our beings. Or, you know, it'll just kind of be like, you know, Moses on the thing. He just walked to the top of the mountain and everybody left him alone. You know what I mean? So I have this feeling that I know I use movies as metaphors, but I believe that they're showing us certain things. And that movie Inception has so many layers to it. As soon as I saw it, I watched it 4 times in 2 days and immediately came on Facebook and said, we should be doing a call on this because I want to do a show, but I want to do a show, I want to do a conference call, because I want everybody to share what their experiences are in dimensions and dreams and what's real.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, Visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.